More time for his grace and mercy he has bestowed upon us. Tonight, I would like us to reflect on the concept of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. As you grow older, you come to accept the fact that is revealed in Scripture that life without God is all but vanity and grasping for the wind. In Psalm 90 and verse number 12, David prayed and he asked God to give him a heart of understanding. We read from the scriptures that at one time Jesus visited the home of Mary and Martha. And as soon as Jesus got to their home, Martha went to the kitchen and tried to prepare something for the Lord Jesus. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, probably asking Jesus questions, wanting to know more about the kingdom of God. The Bible says Martha was so much infuriated, and therefore she came out of the kitchen, came to where Jesus and Mary were, and complained bitterly against Mary. "Lord, ask Mary to come and join me in the kitchen to prepare something for you." In response, Jesus looked at Martha. He loved her, but Jesus told her the truth. "Martha, Martha, you worry yourself with so many things, but there is only one thing that is important, and that is what Mary has gotten, and nobody can take it away from her." Let's think about this. Jesus, I want to feed you. You are my guest. I want to give you food. And Mary says, "Lord, I want to know more." And Jesus chooses the idea of wanting to know more over food. Some of the times it becomes so hard for us Christians to get to know those things that are more important than the others. In the morning I told you that as kingdom people, things that happen through us are more important than things that happen to us. If we get sick, it's something that is happening to us. If death strike in our homes and families, these are things that are happening to us. If we are unemployed, having no money, these are things that are happening to us. But when we allow God to use us to impact on the lives of others, these are things that are happening through us. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul told the church at Ephesus that we have only one God who works amongst us, in us, and through us. Each and every one of us must seek ways of asking God to work through us. God wants us to change this world positively. And yes, we can do that. Not because we are too strong, but we can do that because, as Paul put it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us think seriously about the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6 and 33, the Lord Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." In that passage, when he says, "Seek ye first," just underline the word "first" in your Bible and ask the question, what does that mean? What does that imply? Seeking first the kingdom of God in our lives means that we must set the kingdom of God as our number one priority. And I want to believe that you and I are guilty because we don't do that. We do not put the kingdom of God first in our lives. But that is what the Lord is asking us to do. We love to put our businesses first in our lives. We love to put our families first in our lives. And some of the times, we love to put ourselves first in our lives. But the Lord Jesus reminds us tonight, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you. It's a matter of faith. We don't seem to be believing in what the Lord has said. And therefore, we lack the ability to just act upon what the Lord has asked us to do. In Matthew chapter 3, when John the Baptist began his preaching, the message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And in Matthew chapter 4, our Lord Jesus, when he began his ministry, his first public utterance was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In the Lord's Prayer, he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think about the idea of Jesus asking the disciples to pray about the kingdom. May your kingdom come down to the earth, so that in your kingdom we will do your will. And that is the purpose of the church in this world. We are a kingdom people. Tell yourself, I am a kingdom person. And tell your brother and sister, we are a kingdom people. And when we accept the challenge of being kingdom people, then it follows that we are ready to do those things that are expected of kingdom people. Kingdom people discuss kingdom matters. Kingdom people speak kingdom messages. Kingdom people have kingdom conversations. Because we want to set our minds on God's kingdom, without which life is just vanity. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse number 13, scripture says, God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The church of Christ is the kingdom of God on earth. And we are the kingdom people. We are the people through whom God wants to change this world positively. And we do not disappoint our God. We are a kingdom people. Let us allow ourselves to be used by him. I told you this morning that only one person can make a difference. Though none go with you, you alone can still do something to glorify your God. When the Lord Jesus was in this world, he used a lot of parables to illustrate a lot of things. He used parables to bring out lessons that we need to understand. And a number of the parables of the Lord Jesus are found in the Gospel of Matthew. And tonight, I would like us to take a casual look at some of the parables that Jesus spoke concerning the kingdom of God. That kingdom which is his church on earth. What did he say about these kingdoms? And that is what tonight I would like us to think about. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13 and verse 31 and 32. The Lord Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sold in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." That is the nature of the Church of Christ. For us to continue to tell the world that we are the churches of Christ, the Church of Christ in this community, we must ask ourselves, are we really doing those things that the Lord has asked us to do as his church? What Jesus is saying over here is that yes, whenever we go to a community to set up the church, it will begin with a small group. But the destiny of any church of Christ is that it must grow. So like the mustard seed, which is like just a tomato seed, you plant it, it germinates, it grows, and must of necessity become a tree. Not just a tree, but a tree with branches, so that the birds in the air can come, have their nest on these branches. The church is not God's showroom. The church of Christ is rather God's workshop. You go to any car manufacturing company, they have the workshop where you will see them assembling these cars together. And if you do not know what they are doing, you will think that, I mean, at that workshop, the things you see there, all those pieces of metal cannot come to life anymore. But then when they finish working on these metals and bring these into the showroom, that is where they want us to go and see. And then when we see how beautiful these vehicles are, we are tempted to buy them. Some of the time people think that the church is God's showroom. No. The church is God's workshop.
He wants us to go and bring the sinners into the church and help them to have transformed life so that they can give glory and give testimonies to people that I used to be a fornicator. But now, as a result of God's grace, I am a saved person. That is why the Lord wants us to understand the concept of the kingdom of God being like the mustard seed that has been planted. So small in the beginning, but the destiny of the Church of Christ is that it should grow. And that is why this morning I talked about 3,000 people being baptized on the day of Pentecost. The Lord added unto the church on a daily basis. So many people were being added unto the church. Growth of the church moved away from addition unto multiplication in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. Are you participating in this harvest as a Christian? Are you helping to bring a lot of people? Just invite people to come and visit and listen to the word of God, because that is the destiny of the Church of Christ on earth. Verse number 44 of Matthew chapter 13. The Lord Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. When we come to understand that the church is the kingdom of God, what is being taught here is that because the kingdom of God is the most important thing, when we find it, there are some things we need to sell. We sell them in order to gain the kingdom. A man in search of pearls found a pearl of great price. He went back home, sold all that he had, and bought that pearl of great price. Question for us tonight is, ever since we became members of this church, what is it that we have sold? What is it that we have sacrificed in our lives in order to gain this kingdom? But we are a kingdom people. What is it that we can tell our God that, Lord, because of your kingdom, I sold this? What are the things that we need to sell in order to gain the kingdom? We need to sell our pride for the kingdom of God. I have a bachelor's degree. I have my master's degree. And I did my PhD. These are all good. But will you please sell it in order to gain the kingdom? Will you humble yourself and obey the Lord Jesus and serve him in spirit and in truth? Have you sold your pride yet? Have you sold those things that you are so much interested in? Some people are so much interested in politics. They spend their time, their energy, and their monies on politics. Some people love to discuss Republicans and Democrats in America. Will you sell those and talk about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ? Jesus Christ being the hope of this world? Have you sold your love for sports? When it is time for you to watch that basketball, and it is time for you to come to church, what do you normally do? Which one do you choose? Martha is preparing that food in that kitchen, but Mary is listening. Are you Martha or Mary under such circumstances? Too many people spend their time on sports. Too many people spend their monies on sports. This afternoon I was telling brothers, we have a soccer player in Ghana who plays now in another country. So he plays an international soccer. And he is paid $300,000 a week. That is his pay. Question is, where does this money come from? From whom do they receive this kind of monies? Do these monies don't come from people who are so much in love with sports? And the Lord Jesus said, yes, somebody found the pearl of great price. He went back home and sold everything in order to have that pearl of great price. And brothers and sisters, we're talking about we making ourselves available to the Lord, being useful in the kingdom of God. It requires a lot of sacrifices and dedication. Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross, was buried, and on the third day, he rose up again. And he told his disciples, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you. Lo and behold, I am with you till the end of the age. We call it the Great Commission. Great Commission demands great commitment on the part of those of us who preach the gospel. Great Commission demands great commitment and great dedication. We don't do the work of the Lord in a sluggish manner. We must be serious. We must be seen every time trying to let the world know about the Christ who died on the cross for us. In the absence of that, we make the church a social club. We just want to come and meet friends and relations. That is not the purpose of the church. We come here to reignite ourselves so that we can go out there and let the world know that a Savior has died. And through our dedication, we can affect and infect this world with the love of Christ. You are the salt of the earth. As you can see on the screen, this is the Ghana police. How in this world can a whole police force make a request to a preacher and say, please, can you provide us with a well? We don't have water. You are the light of this world. Oh, but these are not Christians. That is what some people say. These are not Christians. I mean, why should you help such people? You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you?
Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do this? We've missed a lot of things as the Lord's church. The world is not seeing the light in us. Our works are not reflecting the things we preach. People have heard enough of sermons from us. Now they want to see sermons. And in Jesus' time, they both heard preaching and they saw preaching in Jesus. I came to encourage you, to remind you of our responsibilities as Christians. There are so many poor people in your community here that you can reach out to. There are so many unsaved people that you can reach out to as a congregation and as individuals. Let's keep ourselves busy. What is it that you have sold in order to get hold of this kingdom of God? We are a kingdom people, and God's kingdom is all that matters in this world. Life without God is vanity and grasping for the wind. And oh, how the devil has succeeded in convincing people that all that there is this world. And how a number of us Christians are no longer thinking along those lines. And therefore people do not get to know who really we are. You remember at one time during Jesus' ministry, he went to a place to preach. And there was this lady who had been bleeding for about 12 years. This woman, hearing of Jesus' presence in his area, decided to go to Jesus for healing. She was bleeding profusely. And therefore, she couldn't find a way of communicating to the Lord Jesus. This woman said, well, I want to believe that even if I have the chance of touching the tip of Jesus' robe, I will be healed. And the Bible says she did that. She touched the robe of the Lord Jesus, and there it is, the bleeding has stopped. Bible says Jesus turned to Peter and asked him, Peter, it looks like somebody has touched me. In the midst of hundreds of people, how can you tell me somebody has touched you, Lord? Peter answered him, please, the people are so many. That is why. But in the passage, Jesus said, no, Peter, I insist somebody has touched me because I can feel that a certain amount of power has left me. What does that mean? It means that as the Lord Jesus was healing people, power was almost always getting out of him. The concept of giving. Christianity is a giving religion. For God so loved the world that he gave. And therefore, he who loves God must of necessity be a giver. And Jesus was always giving. Healing people, feeding them, doing one good or the other, almost all the time. And power was emanating from him as he healed people. What have you given in exchange for the kingdom of God? Has he blessed you with some money? What do you do with your money? Has he blessed you with money as a Christian? And we think about all that is happening around us. Can you please find something to do to build up the kingdom of God with your money? Let us glorify God with those things that he has blessed us with. For man's life cannot be found in those things that he has accumulated. These are basics in our religion. The kingdom of God. What have you sold? Have you sold all those sins in your life? Or you don't want people to, or preachers to mention about sin? You want us to find another word for sin? People tell preachers, you got to be nice. The preacher is not nice because he called fornication, fornication. The preacher is not nice because he mentioned stealing. Stealing is stealing. And the Bible speaks against that. And so many people even get angry and leave the church before we close. Because he or she doesn't like the way the preacher is preaching. Oh, he is judging me. How can mortal human beings judge others in the kingdom? We cannot do that. But we can only tell people about what God has given to us. Tonight, I just want us to think about the beauty of God's kingdom and what responsibilities are there for us as his church. Bible tells us that life is short. Life is short. So maybe if we've forgotten about that, let us remind ourselves. One of the biggest reasons why we should get ourselves busy in this kingdom of God, trying to do all we can to help build the kingdom of God on earth, is that life is so brief. Before the Lord, 1,000 years is like one day. So even if you are blessed to be 100 years before you die, in the sight of God, you did not spend even 1 second in this world. 2 weeks ago, a preacher in Ghana and his wife and a number of church members attended a funeral. And on their way back from that funeral, they had an accident, a car accident. The preacher died, his wife died, 6 other Christian brothers and sisters died in that car accident. It can happen to me, and it can happen to you. We do not know when the Lord is going to call us. Before it is too late, let us do all we can to promote the kingdom of God. Because we are a kingdom people. Verse 45 and 46 of Matthew 13. That the Lord Jesus continued with his parables. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. 47 to 50, again. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was fully drew to the shore, they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The truth of the matter is that the Bible tells us that some of us, some church members, cannot make it to heaven. And this is very clear in scripture. We came to church. We were church members. But he is telling us the gospel, when it is preached, is just like a fisherman who has spread his dragnet into the sea.
And the dragnet will catch all sorts of fish. Some are edible, but some are not. Are you edible in the kingdom? Or you are not? Are you useful in the kingdom? Or you are not? The Lord is calling upon you tonight. So no matter your situation, you can be useful in this kingdom. Let us try to do all we can to bring in as many people as possible. This is just at one gospel campaign. 118 people were baptized on a single day. Why? Because we took action. Because we made the financial sacrifices. Because those of us who preach dedicated ourselves to do all that we could. For 1 week, I'll be speaking 3 hours every night. Times 7 is 21 hours within 1 week. That is how and why he called us. I'm glad that the Lord gave me the opportunity to come over here to share my ministry with you. I brought you blessings to hear the word of God. And if you will, you can be a supporter of what the Lord has given to me as a preacher to do over there. These are some of the things that we're trying to do. If you are unable to do that, I encourage you to reach out to the people in this community with the love of Christ, evangelism, and benevolence. We can evangelize. People can still become Christians. We can reenact the day of Pentecost. Thousands of people are invited to come and hear the word of God. But it needs the sacrifices of all of us to be able to bring people together like this. In the history of the church in Ghana, at this program, on Sunday when we had the worship, the attendance was 8,000. 8,000. I mean, look at them. 8,000 people coming together to worship God. You know how much it cost us? A third world country. We prepared ourselves, prayed about this, and we encouraged ourselves to make the sacrifices. We gave 1 billion of our money in Ghana to support this 1 week program. Getting radio stations all over the place to hear the word of God. Probably you alone can sponsor that. The Lord has given you that strength. Build up the kingdom of God. 1 billion cedis in our country represents something close to $300,000. An African church, a Ghanaian church, giving this money. Are we rich? No. Dedication? Yes. Commitment? Yes. Want to go to heaven? Yes. Want to participate in this kingdom business? Yes. We do not have the power to heal the dumb and the deaf. But today we have people who through sign language can bring the deaf onto the church. What are we doing? We are a kingdom people, and God expects us to do all we can to promote kingdom business. It is my prayer that the good Lord will continue to bless this congregation. And some of the things that I have said with this strange accent, please don't forget them. Think about them. I told you this morning that probably God allowed me to come to this congregation because of you and you alone. And yes, it is possible. Think about these things. And if there is the need for rededication to the Lord, tonight is that night. And if you are not yet a member of the Lord's Church, it is my prayer that you come to the Lord, for he is good and he loves you. Please remember me in my travels and all the gospel preachers around the world, all the missionaries, wherever we travel to, that the Lord will continue to bless us. We can do too many things at a time. And I testify to that, that when we allow ourselves, the Lord will use us. May he bless you. May he bless me. May he bless all the churches of Christ throughout the world. Lord willing, tomorrow I will leave here for New York, help the church there for 2 more weeks before I go to Ghana. Please remember me in your prayers, and thank you so much for your attention. God bless you.
If you have a need to come forward for the invitation song, do so as we stand and sing "Why Keep Jesus Waiting," number 310.
Do me so, why keep Jesus?